Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. The show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, 1798Part2.org, and RepublicReview.org. We are getting our footholds. We're getting the toe in the door. And with your help, we'll continue to actually get more of the foot in. We're not going to go down that metaphor of the camel's nose into the tent, because it's not about forcing others out. It's about getting in and getting back to the constitutional framework and forcing the federal government into that framework. So it's not forcing them out. It's forcing them into the framework of the Constitution. And what happens is all of those things that they are in dealing with and I would say usurping from the states, it'll just literally go back to the states, and the states will be able to do great things again, and America will be great once and for all. How about that? There's a slogan for you. You are listening to the only show that actually asserts a constitutional solution to our federal government overreach. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. And tomorrow, instead of news at 11, tomorrow we're going to be doing a special show, and it's going to be focused on the polarized ideologies in detail and kind of giving you, because I know a lot of people just scratch their heads, they just don't get the other side. And so I'll give you my full buck's worth. I'm not going to just give you the 2 cents. I will give you the full picture, at least as I see it, of how we've gotten into this position and really what are these differences, because they are stark. The contrast between the two ends of these ideologies is very stark. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a picture, not a metaphor, but a picture. If you look at a line, and the color of one end of the line is white at the very tip, and the other tip of that line is black. And from white to black, it literally transcends through the shades of gray. There's about 256 shades of gray, and the eye can discern maybe 16. But there's all of these shades or all of these steps of moving from white to black. And so on one end, the white end, is full liberty, where a person has full individual liberty and sovereignty, say, over whatever it is they want to do, and the freedom and the responsibility and accountability to do those things. On the other end is full subjugation. In other words, you can't do anything without the state or some master's approval, and everything that you do has to be in compliance to what they want you to do. And so that's full subjugation, full slavery. And so if you look at ideologies, there you have one ideology of full liberty and the other ideology of full subjugation. And in between, you have all sorts of people creating their marking points, whether that be Freud or whether that be Nietzsche or all of the other German philosophers. And I'm really not great in philosophies and so forth, because I never really studied it much, because I only saw the two ends and everybody kind of coming in and trying to create their own place in the center or their own location. And some people, I even tried to get off the axis, but as far as I'm concerned, there really are only the two, and there's just degrees of which way you're leaning one way or the other. And the same thing in politics too. But I just want you to know that I'm going to have a special tomorrow on presenting this paradigm that I think will transpose or transcend the test of time, so that when you look at this 10 years, 15 years down the road, it will still withstand any type of paradigm changes and paradigm shifts. Because what people like to do is they like to break things down into further details and categorize them and label them. And it's really not that difficult. It is really, to me, it is a very simple paradigm. It's just like, Republic Review is a very simple thing. Some people just have a hard time getting their heads wrapped around it because it's not difficult enough, or because it is it's open to understanding for the layman. And I believe the founders and their intent was to ensure that the Constitution and our government was able to be comprehended by the layman. Now, even though the layman back then were pretty dumb compared to today, but I still believe that it was a self-government intent, and not even intent, that's what they instilled. And so it wasn't something that they tried to create, that there had to be this elite boys club or the lawyers and politicians that had to interpret these things for us. That flies in the face of the founding documents, and that's why I go through the founding documents. But I'll get into that in just a few. As you know, the show is dedicated to the state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny, because when they are committing to protecting their citizens, that means as they stand up against the federal Leviathan or this federal beast, this monster that is literally raining down upon us tyranny, arbitrary laws and rules that are well outside the confines of the Constitution, that tyranny, as they stand up against that, that means that they're standing up against that for all of us, because it doesn't, that shadow doesn't, or that umbrella just doesn't protect those few constituents there in their legislative district or state. It actually, the umbrella protects all of us. In addition, and I think this is important because I'm actually working with a few different folks from state level, county level, and so forth, in trying to create a path so that the central committees of the GOP, or I should say parties, because I believe that the Libertarian, I've said this before, Libertarian Constitutional Party and the Republican Party, all three actually have a lot in common, because two of them, because you kind of spawned off or spun off from the Republican Party. And so in doing so, the one thing that they share are their sentiments and their conviction of a constitutional republic. They all believe we have a constitutional republic form of government, and they all believe and uphold to the Constitution as the defining document for what our government should be doing, as well as establishing the defined roles and responsibilities for the federal government. And so trying to create a mechanism to allow all of these parties to actually have a base to center themselves on the Constitution, because you hear me say this a lot, and how do you do that? And so, like I said, I'm working on that. That'll invoke bylaws, that'll invoke platforms, and so forth. And it is a paradigm shift, but a paradigm shift that is necessary nonetheless. So anyway, these leaders, as well as the state legislators, to me are the paramount and utmost importance in getting on board and understanding these things. As I was speaking to a candidate yesterday, they needed to understand, and I was trying to explain why they needed to understand, because 9 times out of 10, those who are stepping into that fray of the state legislator level usually has a basic understanding of the Constitution, a little more so than the average, you know, Joe or Josephine. Anyway, without genders, the state legislators actually have a little bit better grasp. So when I start explaining this to them, I'm actually surprised that they can get it pretty quickly. And usually it doesn't take me a whole day. It only takes about an hour to kind of walk them through the steps and the process, and then give them, you know, the video they watch for 30 minutes, and then let them unleash the model and the descriptions and the bullets. And within a day, they've reached the epiphany that, wow, you know, as a state legislator, we have lots of power. We're going to be able to do some really great things. And that's why I'm now, you know, I've kind of termed this new concept as framers of our future. They're not framing a new government, but what they're doing is framing the direction of putting us back onto the course of our constitutional republic that was instilled by the original framers. So if you want to call them the restorers, but I want to call them the framers, because they have work to do in literally taking this huge leviathan and creating a bridge of getting the general government back over onto the tracks that the federal or that the framers put them onto, and then dealing with this huge mess that they've kind of usurped and created. And a lot of it's going to be kind of easy because the states are already doing a lot of this work. However, there are going to be things that will require a lot of effort to try to figure out how in the best way to try to make some role. A good example would that be like the Department of Energy. Even though the states may have, you know, a small little footprint or some involvement in energy, how are they going to work together so that they can create a strategy? Because the problem is that in some cases, you don't necessarily want to have 50 independent strategies and concepts of energy. You may want to have an actual a single strategy that's best for the overall republic. And so that is their task. That's their job. It's nobody else's. And unfortunately, it is nobody else's. So anyway, we will be right back after word from our sponsor. So please stay tuned. I've got a lot more for you. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And as I was talking about, that video is actually available for everybody. It's that presentation I've talked about before. You can find that presentation on YouTube. But the easiest way to find it is going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the Take Action page and just click on the video link. It's right underneath the two PDF slides that I use for the presentation, so the link is just underneath those. If you garner what I am talking about, you might actually find that this is worth sharing. So by all means, go ahead and email this link out to everybody that you know and ask them for their feedback and input. I will tell you, I have no understanding why this one is not viral amongst the Patriots. This should actually be on fire. This should be setting U2's records, because nobody can refute. And I've still waited for somebody to step forward and go, hey, there's no way you can assert this. There's no constitutional founding, because anybody that's been listening to the show, and by all means, go to the podcast, go through them. I give you the founding documents, and I get into this in just a few minutes as to why this is so important. And so let me just kind of move on and do a little bit of groveling. If you're looking to get involved, if you want to be a part of a very worthy cause, then by all means, reach out to me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And in doing that, you will get a little bit of encouragement from me, as well as a great opportunity to start leading within your local community and your state, because there are a lack of leaders. There are plenty of managers out there that are managing agendas. And what we need to do is we actually need to start identifying and elevating leaders among us. And so hopefully that can be you. Because as I was talking again yesterday to a candidate, they clearly understood the opportunity that this poses, because what we're looking at is these men and women that are going to be stepping forward. They are going to be the futures, or I should say the Thomas Jefferson and James Madisons of the future, so that they will actually be, again, framing for our future. So as I always do, and as I always say, I have checked the news, I have looked around, and not one of the conservative entertainers that are even on the air today are identifying any of the federal government's roles that are being disbanded, and the tyranny of the roles, responsibilities, and powers are continuing. So what does that mean? That means that you and I are going to have to do this. I mean, go ahead, check out what they're talking about. They're not talking about how the federal government is disbanding all of its unconstitutional roles and responsibilities and powers. And if you, I want you to understand this, that the 95, if not more, percentage of the problems that we are facing as a republic have everything to do with unconstitutional government. FBI, unconstitutional. Department of Justice, unconstitutional. The only constitutional departments are the State Department, the Treasury, and the Department of Defense. All of the other departments have been created outside the Article 5 process and are clearly usurpations of the state's powers and violation of the Constitution. This is not GR saying this. This is James Madison and Thomas Jefferson saying this. So, as I've been kind of going through for the past month, I've been asking this standing question. Why is reading our founding documents so important? Well, I was really thinking about this, and I had a great conversation with my wife yesterday, who always kind of helps open my mind and makes me think. And especially as I start explaining things to her, it just seems like, you know, I get these insights. But anyway, what I'm going to do, and that's why tomorrow I'm actually going to get into the details of why this is so important. Why is reading our founding documents so important? And why is it that our education system has gone down the path to deliberately bury them and to obfuscate them and actually have lied about them? There have been plenty of characters in our history that have been lying regarding our founding documents. And so, as a matter of fact, Douglas Gibbs, who was on the show not too long ago, wrote that book, The Seven Greatest Liars Who Have Done More Damage, and that's not the title of it, but that basically what his book is about the seven liars that have done more damage to our Constitution and our Republic than anyone else. And John Marshall is one of those great and almighty liars, as I have asserted in my books, and now he has it in his book. So there's plenty of academic evidence that we have been, if you want to use the term hoodwinked, but we have been deceived and lied to, not just necessarily by the progressives, but I will say by those who have had designs of self-aggrandizing themselves and or their roles within government and history. So anyway, let me jump into what I want to call the news and marketing time here, because I think both of these are in context. These topics are both in context to news as well as marketing. And if you understand the Constitution and how it delineates the responsibilities, the Congress has the responsibility of legislation. They have the responsibility of creating laws and so forth. Now, they do not have the responsibility of establishing foreign relations, ambassadors, and that really is the president's job. That is probably one of the most important parts of the president's job, is working and establishing a foreign policy that, in some respects, is better for America. But if you do it right, then there is no doubt that the president can set the tone in leadership to improve the overall quality of life for the whole world. That's not his job, but in leadership, that can be done. And to point, I know that President Trump is talking about having this no-holds-barred, no-strings-attached meeting with Hassan Rouhani, and he's the, you know, this tyrant of Iran. And this is an opportunity for President Trump to undo what other previous globalist presidents have done, going all the way back to Jimmy Carter and even before. And so my position on leadership, and I've said this for quite a while, that President Trump and or presidents have, I believe, a responsibility to actually, you know, call out all the other leaders of the world and poke them in the eye for any time they are tyrants and any time they are despots and oppressing their people. And there's no doubt that Iran for years and years has been oppressing their people. And so there is, I think, merit in the president of the United States calling upon other nations of the world to create avenues and or paths for their country to move forward in liberating their people and giving them liberty and sovereignty as we do here in America. And, you know, there's lots of people that like to point out that, oh, we're the worst. Yeah, that's why everybody in the world's dying to come here. I know that the progressives, especially the progressives here in this country, love poking us in the eye and saying, oh, look at, you know, this tipping is related to slavery. Are you kidding me? Are you really kidding me? They try to do everything they can to point to America like all of these other countries are just, well, what are they? Just stalwarts and examples of great examples of freedom and bastions of liberty, like China, Russia, Venezuela. I have a hard time understanding why people spend so much effort in trying to pick and knock down America. And these are American citizens. And that's why tomorrow's program on the progressives, or I should say this polarized ideologies of progressives and or the subjugators and the liberators, and why this is literally an all-out war. And I'll give you more of the details again as we go through this. But as I said, it has a lot to do with understanding our founding documents as well as understanding our history, not just as a nation, but our origins, the origins of liberty and so forth. But anyway, Trump can actually start to lead if he actually puts his foot forward. As in the Marine Corps, we call it a full 30-inch step. I also want to talk about protesting, because it seems like there's a lot of rhetoric. And I saw some people talking about going into Portland, some of them talking about being armed and so forth. And I'm going, this is pathetic. And actually, in the dawn of this, I believe that there's been some rulings. But what really kills me is you don't have a right to protest. You have a right for peaceably and lawful assembly. That doesn't mean you can go out there and and set fires, break windows, and do those types of things. And as a matter of fact, you were supposed to be able to go down and have to get a license for a public assembly. That whole point of assembly does not mean that you have a right to interfere with the flow of commerce and individuals who have a constitutional right to be able to conduct a business and to mind their lives' affairs. So these protests have to be done via the city government or what have you. And too many of them are occurring well outside of that. And as a matter of fact, we've been led down this path that, oh, this is a constitutional right. And I'm telling you, it's not. If you got any feelings on that, you're more than welcome to call in. And I'll be right back after word from our sponsor. Thank you very much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And who has not heard plenty of pundits and even the mainstream media like to call out that you have a constitutional right that's it's a part of our democracy to be able to go out and protest and so forth. But no, it's not. We are a Republican form of government, and people don't understand that. It's not one vote counts and one vote, you know, has say in all things. No, no, we have a chance to vote for a representative. That representative then represents our concerns and so forth. So if you're not happy with the way things are going, then you go and find the appropriate representative who is responsible for things going awry, whether that be at the state level, whether that be at your county level, which would be your county commissioner, whether that be in your city council, and so forth. Those are the representatives in our Republican form of government. Going out and protesting is not, I repeat, is not a constitutional right. If you understand the Bill of Rights, the Bill of Rights basically created an inhibitor on the federal government. And if you read the preamble to the Bill of Rights, you can understand the origin and why these laws exist as a part of the Constitution, because they are negative laws that have been placed upon the federal government only. These do not apply to states. And so The conventions, and this is the preamble of the Bill of Rights, the conventions of a number of states having at the time they're adopting the Constitution, pay note to this, expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, the federal government's powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. And as extending the public of extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends of its institution, resolved by the Senate and the House. And it goes on, you know, this is more what I just read was the important part, that what they created were laws that were going to restrict the federal government. And so this First Amendment, when Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free speech thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Now, that last part is the important part. What is it that people are doing out in the streets protesting? Well, they're supposed to be petitioning their government, but out in the streets is not where you do it. What it is, it's a stage to create mayhem, and it is a stage to try to change the sentiments of people. And in a democracy, this is where it is done. But again, we're a Republican form of government, and you have to address your grievances, and at the appropriate forum in doing this would be going to your congressman's office, calling them, or flying to D.C., or going to your state legislator by going to the Capitol and going and demanding to see your state legislator and asking them to address your grievances, or your county commissioner, and so forth and so on. If you've got a problem with what is going on with the government, then there you go. Now, this whole concept of people peaceably to assemble, that does not include going down and blocking access into buildings and commerce and so forth, or going onto a campus and blocking access for those who want to gain education and so forth. It is against the law, and you can get arrested, but the whole point of doing that is to change the sentiments of the people. Now, I'll give you a great example, because if you look back at the civil rights and what they were doing in the 60s in violating the law by doing sit-ins and those types of things, sometimes you have to look and say it's worth the charge. It is worth the crime of just being arrested and then going through that process, because 9 times out of 10, they may go after the leaders that are in charge of violating this, but they won't go after everybody and throw them in jail. The whole point is to try to change the sentiments, but again, you're acting illegally. Now, if you understand this peaceably assembly, that doesn't necessarily mean it's out in public. This means that in private, you can go and assemble into a community center, into a church, or what have you, and be able to have a congregation in meeting. The 14th Amendment in the South, it wasn't that the blacks were going out into the streets and protesting at that point in time. They were even being arrested when they were assembling in any group, whether that be in a building, out in public, or where have you, because they started passing laws that made it impossible for them to actually create a large group of. And why is it that they didn't want large groups of people? Because they didn't want people to hear and be able to spread the news more efficiently, because that's what happens when you pull a body of people together. You can tell them all the same thing once instead of having to go out and literally call 500 people, just have a meeting, and then boom, you've got 500 people informed the same day at the exact same time, and they all heard the exact same words. And everybody there can be witness to the event, to the words, to what was communicated, and so forth. And so there's a lot of power in assembly.
And the framers understood this, but they didn't say, oh, well, you can go ahead and assemble right there in Wall Street and create an Occupy on Wall Street and literally decimate the businesses right there, such as, you know, the fast foods and the services and those types of things, because you want to willy-nilly deny people access and so forth. Those people should have been arrested because they have no right to deny everybody access, just like in the 60s. You don't have that right to do that because the individual, the patrons, those businesses have constitutional rights. And remember, government's job, its number, two main objects, according to Madison and many people, is that it is responsible for protecting life and protecting property. Those are the two primary objects of government. And so it just, it infuriates me to understand that there these local governments, like what happened in South Carolina and what happened, I think it's San Jose, where a ruling just came out today where now these people who are looking to sue can now, they've been told that they can sue the police because the police were told to stand down. In other words, they were told not to do their job in protecting life and property. Basically, let a street brawl ensue and we will see how the brawl works out, and whoever, you know, gets lumps and bumps can go to the hospital. Anybody dies, oh, well, maybe we'll find the killer or what have you. Are you kidding me? And the fact is that city governments have a responsibility to ensure that counter protests don't happen. You want to have your protest, a counter protest, you can do yours the next day or the next week. But allowing two opposing organizations to protest in a designated area by the city, to me, is negligent and actually inviting problems. And I believe that not only should the police be sued, but any civil governing person, whether that be the county clerk, whether that be the city clerk, or whoever says, yeah, we're going to allow this to happen, and whoever has any voice in the matter, all of those people should be sued because they are violating the civil rights of all sorts of people. Yeah, you may have a right to be able to, you know, protest and state your case, okay, because cities have allowed that law to occur, then allow that to be done separately, because when you allow two opposing forces, you are just inviting problems, and you have to assume, because you've allowed it, you have to assume the financial liability, the financial cost. So any businesses that get damaged, any type of bodily injuries and so forth, all of those people should have a right to sue their public servants who allowed it to happen to you. Because that bottom line, they're the ones that are making the decisions and they're violating their fundamental responsibility as a government stalwart or steward, which is protecting life and property. And so another thing that I found interesting is... is this labeling of politics, or I should say this social labeling. And I know that Session is supposedly creating a religious task force, but this labeling or identity politics, that's what I meant to say, this identity politics is literally taking this to a new level, because they're now calling this the anti-homosexual task force, or the LGBT, or whatever you want to call the acronyms. But they're now basically coming after them. And this is on the heels of what just happened in the UK, because the UK just passed a law that says it is illegal for somebody to provide any type of, what do you call that? Therapy. Yeah, it's a therapy to help somebody get out of their mind model that they are homosexual, transgendered, trapped in a body, or what have you. That is against the law for anybody in the UK trying to get somebody to taking that type of therapy. I think the overall therapy itself is illegal in the UK. But then again, liberty is not legal in the UK either. So that's why I believe we revolted.
And that's why we're completely a different type of society from them now. And we will be right back after this hard break. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Thank you much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. If you understand why sessions, and actually why this is even coming forth, it's because of the other end of this polarized ideology. Do you really believe that these types of policies that are making it illegal for somebody to try to offer their children, whether you're a parent or what have you, therapy and counseling and helping them get to a normalcy? Because for the longest time, for centuries and centuries, we advanced to a point where we identified that type of behavior as abnormal. Now, I've said before that there's plenty of people out there that want to obfuscate this, and they go, oh, well, that's old. That's an old world view that the, you know, homosexuality is abnormal or what have you. And you got to get rid of your old world views. No, the reality is that is the new world view. The old world view is that, uncivilized view is that people should be encouraged to pursue anything that makes them feel good. That is more of a carnalistic, again, old world view that in society it becomes a detriment, and in society it actually has a negative impact. It debases the mores of society. Alexis de Tocqueville talked about it, Edmund Burke. I mean, there are all sorts of great statesmen that were identifying during the periods of enlightenment why we needed to get and move away from those things, or why we had, centuries ago, started moving away from those things. And so, like I said, I'm going to go over this polarized matter tomorrow on these ideologies, because I think there's a lot of data there. And there's a lot of really good information that I believe people need to start understanding. You got to understand that this is not just a agree to disagree. This is an ideological war. And there are people that take this so seriously that they're okay with you being killed if you don't think their way. And so there are certain people that are wired that way. And history actually proves this. So
Anyway, that's why I think it's really important that I go into this tomorrow. But the whole point on this Sessions task force isn't that they're going down this path of trying to go anti-homosexual. What they're actually doing is they're trying to go out and making sure that religious organizations are having their liberties protected. There's probably nothing more important than protecting religious freedom. I believe that that is a constitutional right, and even though it's in the Bill of Rights, and even though the individual privileges and immunities were not designed in the Bill of Rights to be applied to people, it actually is applied to people via the 14th Amendment. And that is why states and cities and so forth can't pass laws to make it illegal for you to express yourself, to speak, and so forth, or to pass laws of your right to assemble as individuals. Not to be able to protest. There is no right to protest. That is not a civil right. To be able to go and blocking people, blocking commerce, or what have you, that is still illegal. One other thing that, and this is all popping up as a great counter towards these anti-tolerant or non-tolerant ideologues who want to force you to think a certain way. And if you haven't heard, the TSA had started a Quiet Skies program. This came out this weekend, and there's even more on it today. But this whole, supposedly, this Quiet Skies program is to start identifying. It's almost like spying on you in the airplane as you're flying, just to make sure that you can't say or you're not talking about things that could be considered hate speech or what have you. And they're the TSA. And why hasn't Trump started actually firing all of these Obama, Bush era, and Clinton era bureaucrats that are ramming these types of policies out? Why? Why are these people still in office? As a matter of fact, if it comes down to it, he should just fire them and say, you know, and until I can get people in through the cabinet process, if there's a question or a policy that needs to be put out, like this new Quiet Skies program, it has to come through me first. You know, literally step in and say, you know what, if because he has to acknowledge, and I've been saying this, you cannot deny that people are so ideologically wired that they go to work and they use their job as a tool to further their ideology. That's exactly what the FBI has been doing. That's exactly what the deep state is all about. It has nothing to do with the Constitution and governing in the ways the framers had intended us. So anyway, we have been, as I've also said this a lot, we've been bailing out almost every other socialist nation in the world with either trade deficits or direct funding for decades. And now I just came out that we've seen that the Medicare cost, and we knew this, is if this Bernie Sanders model, the socialist, this communist model, and this is what you're going to get with these communists in New York or what have you, they want to mandate Medicare for everybody. And the unfunded liability, they're talking $32 trillion. That would collapse the system. And I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. Because it costs so much. I want you to understand this. Because these things cost so much for government to do instead of free markets and true organizations that do real compassionate service. Because these things cost so much and it's going to force everybody to this trough, there's only a few people that will have an exception. How good do you think the quality of care will be for that $32 trillion? Well, first off, we know they can't afford it. They're going to tell us that we're going to have a Cadillac, you know, coverage. And then when they finally give you your coverage of what you can get, it won't even match a Yugo. And so any of you who have worked all of your life and if you know done everything you can to get ahead or to at least have a quality of life that is better than maybe your parents had as you step into retirement. If you have worked hard to take care of yourself, I'm sorry. It is just too bad. Apparently, according to the socialists, you do not deserve to have a better care for yourself other than everybody else. Apparently, the only people that are going to be able to receive this kind of, you know, Cadillac treatment will be those who will be in, because they're going to force this upon everybody. And what's going to happen as soon as they start finding out that people are bypassing the system and trying to bypass, you know, the payments and everything else, they are going to start using the iron fist of force in making you go to their doctors, making, not allowing you to travel to these resort hospitals to have your procedures done or what have you. If you have not noticed, the foundation of government is shifting between your feet, or underneath your feet, actually. That's a better way of saying it. And so this shifting has gone from a government that has been based on individual liberty and individual sovereignty, and it is now shifting to subjugation. Because as they institute these laws, then they have the power to force and dictate what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, why you're going to do it, and so forth. And so I am just really, really, really concerned that nobody is getting this. And the only mechanism, I'm telling you, the only process that will wash this away from our republic is Republic Review. And so I have to ask that inevitable question, what is it going to take? What will it take for you to finally recognize that the direction we're going isn't any better? Even though we may have a good intended president whose heart is in the right spot, who is actually trying to undo some of these things, but the truth be told, he doesn't have the authority to undo these things, so that when the next president comes along, or the next tyrant, we will be subjugated even worse because of what he's done. And it will be with, you know, hail, fire, and fury that these things will be descending upon us when he leaves office, whether that be in 2020, and I pray not, or whether that be in 2024, because bottom line, he has a finite amount of time to be in that office. The next person will rain down upon us, and it will not be good, because even though it may be sold and everybody may be just as in love with them as Trump, but regardless, it will be a tyrant, and that tyrant will use the fury and force of government to pull everybody under the control, because they've been centralizing controls for years and years and years, and it only takes a little bit of effort by the state legislators to step in and say, you can't do this and unravel this. If we start teaching our state legislators what they need to do and what I am doing here and what I am asserting, that is your path of liberty. That is your path of shedding all of this bad government and washing it down the sink. And with that, I want to assure you that I am G.R. Mobley, and I am reclaiming the republic, but I need your help. You've got to get this. I'm working to get this through your brain housing group. If you can start fathoming this and how you can really get involved in this, then reach out, let me know, start promoting this, and start at least helping this to expand as you have been. God bless. I'll be back tomorrow. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am
trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.